Word of mouth.
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 Mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. In March of 1962, Jacqueline Kennedy made a goodwill tour of India and Pakistan. The First Lady famously charmed Indian Prime Minister Nehru and the rest of the world, riding elephants and camels and sightseeing in a dazzling collection of clothes. Things were also fluttering at the ramshackle Jolly Grant home in the Himalayan countryside that same spring. That is the fictional home of Jana Bibi, an expat living among the remnants of the Raj in Uttar Pradesh. Jana Bibi is the creation of New Hampshire author Betsy Woodman, who spent part of her childhood in India. It is the third and final Jana Bibi adventure novel, and it's called Emeralds Included. Betsy will be reading from the book at Gibson's Bookstore in Concord tonight. And on Saturday, she'll be at Toadstool Books in Keene. And we welcome her to Word of Mouth. Hello, Betsy.
Thank you, Virginia. It's such a pleasure to be here.
It's so funny to meet you, you know, and think of this Jana Bibi, who seems so exotic. But her story, in a sense, begins in New England with your parents, who I guess had a sense of adventure. Pick up the story for us from there.
They did have a sense of adventure. They were two small town kids who wanted to see the world. My dad came from Franklin. My mom came from Newton, Mass. And they got a chance to go to India, my dad as a cultural affairs officer. And off they went. This sort of horrified their relatives. My mom was 7 months pregnant, and she had two little girls, me and my sister. And India was a lot further away than it is today. I mean, it just took a long time to get there, and not many people had been there, and there weren't too many Indians in this country. And so it was very exotic and very foreign. But we touched down in Madras, now Chennai, and settled in, and were supposed to stay for 2 years and stayed for 10.
So this was between you were six?
I was six and 16 when we left. So there were 2 years in South India and 8 years in Northern India.
Wow. So you created this character, Jana Bibi. Now, she has some similarities with you. She loves Scottish music, for
yes.
example.
Yeah.
Any other similarities, or was she kind of a composite of characters you met?
People ask me that. Many of the other characters in the book were composites, or I got the idea because of a real person. But she actually is as close to 100% fictional as you can get.
Okay, give us her background.
Well, she was born in 1902, and so that's the height of the British Raj. And in India, she's born in India and has her childhood there, goes back to Scotland as a late teenager and is miserable for 5 or 6 years and then jumps at the opportunity to return to India. The opportunity happens to be an American missionary who asks her to marry him. So she makes this rather hasty marriage. So in India, she has a number of existences. There's the missionary wife, and then after the husband dies, there's music teacher in Bombay, now Mumbai. And after that, there's violin tutor to a princely family. And then, as my series starts, she gets a letter saying she's inherited a house from her grandfather in the foothills of the Himalayan mountains.
And she becomes a fortune teller.
Now, this is very improbable, and it took some concocting, and also I had a few little twinges of, now, should I really have something this goofy or not? So she gets into this town and learns that it's in danger of being drowned.
By a big dam project.
A hydroelectric project, which actually was part of the background situation in India, because big dams have been part of the development picture. But anyway, so the townspeople in this instance get together and decide to put the town on the map, and they'll make it a tourist destination that's so important and beloved by people that there won't be any question mm-hmm. of destroying it. So her role is going to be a fortune teller, and she's going to be in her house, and she's going to have her salon, and the salon is going to be called Jana Bibi's Excellent Fortunes.
What was so much of the energy of the book, I think, comes from this, a little bit of zaniness, you know. It's a, there's a cast of characters, Mr. Ganguly, her parrot.
He's very important.
A merchant named Mr. Ramachandran, and a kind of dashing travel writer. A pipe-playing Darzi, you may have to explain that
yes.
to us, and this a series of bumbling officials. You show a lot of how India doesn't work and works in its own way.
Yeah,
where does that
yeah.
come from, your experience?
I guess. You know, things seem very higgledy-piggledy, but then they kind of work out.
Have you been back recently?
I was back last fall.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there are three times as many people as when I was growing up,
mm-hmm.
and it seems that way. And it looks different. People are wearing Western clothes, young people out on the streets and their motorcycles. In the cities, Delhi, for example, is clogged with traffic of modern cars. You know, the traffic in the old days would be a few cars plus some bullock carts, camels, cows and bicycles, tons of bicycles, but not so much anymore. Mm. So it definitely has modernized with a lot of costs, huge air pollution, for example. But the thing that's the same, I think, is that people are very direct and they'll engage you and they won't beat around the bush. They'll ask you immediately about yourself and your life and your, are you married?
How much you pay for your house.
Exactly. What you earn. So
we are talking about India now and then. And the then in this case is 1962. That's the year that Jana Bibi's adventure series most recent book is set. It's called Emeralds Included. And we're speaking with author Betsy Woodman. Well, I'd love to get to that sort of cultural shifting because the 60s, such an important time mm-hmm. in India, you know, mm-hmm. fairly new nation mm-hmm. at that time still, or fairly new.
Newly independent
nation
right.
at that time. Now, I read a post that you're a guest blogger, and you often write about your experiences growing up in India, and you were there at a time when a lot of people were getting telephones. and this is something that's picked up in the book, you know, this idea that one character says to another, well, if you have a telephone, you won't come over and visit anymore. So I'd love to hear about some of those kind of like social changes or what you were observing growing up.
Right. Well, growing up in Delhi, my family had a phone and it worked. But there were only 7 phone lines for every 100,000 people in the country. So you get out into the bush and no one had a phone. And even up at the boarding school where I went, there were maybe 2 phones. So I had, I think, 1 phone call home in 3 years. Messages were, as in the book, were mm-hmm. Delivered by runners. Now, the vast majority of people have access to a cell phone mm-hmm. and they've just jumped over the wired era, gone straight into wireless, and it's a huge, huge revolution.
Another shift in the book, there are a pair of twin daughters.
Mm-hmm.
Their mother is saying, why should they be taking physics? You know, this whole question of like a sort of burgeoning consciousness about women or women's rights, and I don't even know if it was there in India in the 60s.
Well, interestingly enough, there have been professional women and women leaders in India way, way before that. And in fact, in Madras, one of the first medical colleges for women was established back in the 19th century, and Indian women and Anglo-Indian women went there. So really, more privileged sector has always had pretty good opportunities for women because they weren't really tied down by housework and so forth. So these girls, their family's a bit traditional, a bit old-fashioned, but they're still going to college. So there is a tension there because they are more modern than their parents.
Well, Jana Bibi's Excellent Fortunes. She doesn't seem to do a whole lot of business in this book with her fortune telling.
Well, she's not a great businesswoman, and she doesn't have a huge head for money.
But she and her future daughter-in-law, or her daughter-in-law shows that she has some proficiency with this. She grew
yeah.
up in Hungary and says that she learned it. And, of course, everybody in the town follows the What the Stars Foretell column.
Yes, right.
And I'm wondering about this whole kind of specter of,
yeah.
you know, there's a lot of superstition among people, certainly, but this fortune-telling business, this kind of astrological readings, where are you in all of this, Betsy Woodman?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm a very sort of random sample controlled survey, statistical test for significance kind of girl. But I got to say, I just reserve a little corner of my own mind for fun. And maybe this really was in the cards, you know.
I'm wondering about how this resonates for New Hampshire. You know, obviously you're writing for a much larger audience than here in New Hampshire, but what it must be like to kind of contact and create and live with these characters while you're in the woods of New Hampshire.
It was very easy because there were two small towns. I mean, one, the one I was living in and the one I was writing about. There are so many similarities, the sort of intimacy, neighborliness, eccentricity.
Gossip.
Oh, my goodness. My dad used to say, you learn about your own indiscretions on the way home from having committed them. So there's a resonance, and even the town's name, Hamaranagar, means our town, and that was a little joke.
Nudge, wink, wink.
Yes.
Well, New Hampshire author Betsy Woodman, what a pleasure speaking with you today.
What fun for me. Thank you so much.
Betsy Woodman's new Jana Beebe adventure is called Emeralds Included. She's going to be reading at Gibson's Bookstore in Concord tonight. On Saturday, she will be at Toadstool Books in Keene, and you'll find more on those readings at wordofmouthradio.org.